33. Outlaw. If a Christian is under the law as a rule of life, he is labouring in a doleful, grey, alien land of self-righteousness. He struggles to produce. The believer who learns to walk in the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has the joy of the Lord for his strength, and he rests to receive. Instead of our Father demanding from us according to the law, by grace he ministers to us from the one who is our life in glory. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. So first we look at the law and the new nature. Our new nature is that of the risen life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the purpose of the law being to reveal sin and condemn the sinner. It has nothing to say to the new man in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:14 says this, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." First, as each of us was separated from the Adam life by means of the cross and the tomb, we were delivered from the realm of the law. We rose from the tomb into newness of life, out of the grip of law into the freedom of his resurrection. Now we are discharged from the law and have terminated all intercourse with it, having died to what once restrained and held us captive. So now we serve not under or in obedience to the old code or the written regulations, but under obedience to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in newness of life. Romans 7 verse 6. Secondly, law has to do with works, the works of the flesh. The new creation has to do with life and the life of the Son. Abiding in him, our nature will grow and manifest the fruit of the Spirit. In Romans 7 verse 4 we read, "You have undergone death as to the law through the crucified body of Christ, so that now you may belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God." Next, we look at the Christian and the new nature. Our Lord Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand in glory, is not under law of any kind. His life is subject neither to commands nor to the principle of law. It is holy by nature. And we, having been born into him, now share his life. "For me to live is Christ." Philippians 1:21. First, the wages of sin being death, the law by the execution of death penalty exhausted its right over man in Adam. Having died to the law in Christ, the law no longer has any claim on the believer. He is now free from its reign. We read in Romans 7 verse 9, "When the commandment came, sin lived again, and I died," or "I was sentenced by the law to death." And in Galatians we read, "For through the law I died to the law, that I might live to God." Galatians 2 verse 19. Secondly, being in Christ Jesus, the believer no longer has need for the law as a governing principle. He can now live by nature, effortlessly and naturally. We read in Romans 8 verse 12, "We are debtors, but not to the flesh. We are not obligated to our carnal nature. To live a life ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh." And three, when the believer sees his deliverance from the old, he can begin to walk in the freedom of the new. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 17, we read, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And in Galatians 5:13, we read, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." So now we look at walking in liberty. Some of the positive results of walking in liberty are as follows. There are 6 points. First, even when there is failure, the abiding believer learns from it and gains thereby. He knows that his Father is working all things together for his good and to conform him to the image of his Son. We read these in Romans 8:28 and verse 29. His reliance is neither on the law nor the flesh, but on the Holy Spirit, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 4. Secondly, instead of struggle to keep from sinning and self-effort to progress spiritually, he rests in Christ, the ground of growth. The Word of God is his daily sustenance, and he feeds on it in reliance on its author, the Spirit of Truth. Third, prayer is his cherished fellowship with the Father. He depends on the Spirit for this most vital aspect of his life. We read in Romans 8:26 and 27 that the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Fourth, having learned to hate the old life, he willingly judges himself. He confesses his sins fully and without fear, because he loves and trusts his advocate and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Five, in his growth, he is more and more free from the influence of indwelling sin and the old life, the law, and the surrounding world. He is at rest concerning himself, but burdened for others. His services from the heart and in the spirit, it is a sharing of life. He does not have to resort to human methods and fleshly means to win others and to help them grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. He allows the Holy Spirit to control and to work through him by means of life, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And six, underlying whatever service the Spirit may lead him into, his most important and effective ministry is simply to be. For to him to live is Christ. He becomes an example or a pattern to the believer, a pattern to the lost, in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. His attitude is that of Paul. In Galatians 5, verse 1, where we read, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage or the yoke of law." My liberty from the old is infinite in the Lord Jesus, limited only to the glory of the Father and to the good of others.